I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good Thursday afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us in the nation's capital and beyond. Always live and free via the Odyssey app. That's how you can listen live, or you can listen on demand, however you choose to consume. We appreciate you doing so via the Odyssey app or at theteam980.com. If you missed Chris Rodriguez Jr., Commanders running back, he was excellent yesterday. Metal Chris is back with us again, and he has it all carved up for you. Again, on the Odyssey app and or at theteam980.com, you can check out the Chris Rodriguez interview. You can check out our earlier conversations this week with Terry McLaurin and Bobby Wagner, as well Devin McCourty, three-time Super Bowl champion, and Charles Davis, who's on the call for CBS. Those plus Jay Gruden, all of them have joined us this week already, and the week is just three now plus days old. And coming up on today's show, we're going to do plenty of Commanders, of course. Surprise! We're also going to be joined from Sumer Sports by a guy who's been doing a lot of good work and working the trade deadline and working the all-pro rosters and what it might look like with Jaden Daniels on it. Sam Bruckhaus will join us from Sumer Sports at 3 o'clock. And before that, we're scheduled to be joined by Washington Wizards sharpshooter Corey Kispert. At 2:30, as the Wiz get ready to open up a five-game road trip tomorrow night in Memphis after a couple of days off here to get ready for that particular trip. But again, that's scheduled at 2:30, and then Bruckhaus on the Commanders in the NFL at 3 o'clock. So we have two guests scheduled. You will hear Alex Ovechkin once again doing it up last night. You will get that audio call from the great John Walton and our commentary there. We will certainly spend some time on the Capitals because they deserve it. And listen, it's football season. We all understand football dominates what everything that we do, but the Capitals deserve attaboy and then some because they won again last night. They beat the Nashville Predators, which is a team that's been struggling, make no mistake about it. Barry Trotz made a lot of additions over the offseason as their general manager, and it has not worked so far. But this Capitals team continues, for the most part, to rock and roll and to shut out teams in the third period at home. I put this number out. That is now 6 out of 7 home wins this year that they have had a lead, that they have had a lead or been tied going into the third period and have won a game and have not allowed a single goal in any of those 6 games. You with me? Again, 6 home wins in which they have had a lead or been tied going into the third period. And last night against Nashville, Saturday against Columbus, which was a blowout, but for what it's worth, last Thursday against Montreal on Halloween, last Tuesday against the Rangers, the game I was at, plus earlier the week before that against undefeated Vegas and Dallas, 6 home wins. They have 7 home wins on the year. They did allow a goal in the 7th home game that I'm excluding from this list, Philadelphia, which was on the second night of back-to-backs, and the game was largely in control. So it's not every home game, but 6 home games, and therefore 6 home wins, where they have either been tied or in the lead going into the third period and have won the game, and all in regulation, by the way, and have not given up a goal. That's pretty damn impressive to me. I mean, you could talk about Alex Ovechkin until you're blue in the face and Connor McMichael, and all of that is well-deserving. And Ted Leonsis, with his 1,000th win, and congratulations to Ted and his family. I don't care what you guys say. I mean, he's been a long-time, high-quality owner. You know, Listen, you can debate about certain things, and it is not fair to debate that he cares more about the Capitals than the Wizards. That's stupid. They just have not had success with the Wizards, by and large. They've tried a lot of different ways and a lot of different things, and it hasn't worked yet. But I think they're on the way. I think they're on their way. We'll talk to Corey Kispert about some of that at 2:30, but congratulations to Ted Leonsis for win number 1,000 as the principal owner of the Washington Capitals. Again, you'll hear Alex Ovechkin's goal and pursuit once again of the great one later on in the show as part of a big Capitals win. But here's how I wanted to start on this Thursday afternoon, and it's just me and you and Metal Chris on the other side of the glass, so please be kind to him, at 301-230-0980. And I would just say this, we're probably not going to have any chance for phone calls, maybe one. It'll be tough. I'm just putting it that way. After 2:30. So if you're a later in the show caller, I can't guarantee that we're going to have room for you after 2:30. So encourage you now. We still don't know if Marshawn Lattimore is going to play this Sunday. They have been very coy about that. We will see if he's on the practice field. Joe Witt Jr. said, don't ask me when he's going to play. And the first thing my pal John Keim of ESPN said, so do you know when he's going to play? To the laugh of many. I thought it was pretty funny. I was listening to JP and B-Mitch on the way in, actually, it was JP and Logan Paulson, when they were playing the press conference, so I was able to hear that. And then bouncing back and forth between, you know, Coach Sheehan and JP and Logan, you know, you just kind of get a little canvas of what they're talking about. Watched a bunch of the Junkies this morning on Monumental, so just trying to get a good feel for what everybody is buzzing about. So I haven't heard this topic anywhere recently, maybe at all. Maybe I'm missing it. I don't know. I can't hear everything. But I thought it would be a good time for us to take the temperature of this. 9 games in, 7-2, year one. They just made the big acquisition to get Marshawn Lattimore, who I am going to constantly call Marcus Lattimore. I need to program my brain. If I say Marcus Lattimore, please don't get mad. It's just, they're kind of, you know, they kind of got the same name, right? But Marcus Lattimore is not here. Marshawn Lattimore is here. That being said, because Marshawn Lattimore has not put on the burgundy and gold in terms of a game uniform yet, and we don't even know if that will happen this Sunday, I would slightly lean that he does not play this Sunday, but I don't know. It's not because he can't get on the field because he doesn't know what he's doing. That's the easy part. We just don't know the hamstring, right? And he hadn't practiced yet. Now, we'll see if he's out there today once the updates from practice come in. I'm guessing he'll be out there on a limited basis today, but I don't know. But again, we don't know if he's going to play this Sunday. We don't know if he's for sure going to play next Thursday in Philadelphia. Again, this is where the short week really kind of hurts you. If he's legitimately, and I say if, because there was a lot of speculation that he was kept out of the Saints-Carolina game because they were trying to protect their asset to get as much return as they could, which is a smart move. And Lattimore was trying to protect himself and not play for a team that was in a major tailspin and going nowhere, which, again, is individualistic and maybe some would view it as selfish, but I also understand it. If you're feeling something and if you're not right, it's hard to put your body on the line for a team that's lost 6 in a row at that point and that you're disenchanted with to begin with, because there was some of that as well. But I wanted to get to this. I don't think the answer can be Marshawn Lattimore because we simply have not seen him in uniform yet and on the field. But what has been non-Jaden Daniels division? Cannot answer that. What has been the best acquisition that the Commanders, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Dan Quinn, and the organization at all has made since they took over. And I quipped on Twitter, NWO style. For those of you that don't know the reference, go back 20-whatever years. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash come from WWE. They show up and they start taking over WCW and start causing all sorts of heck and hell and mayhem. And again, it's just a figure of kind of not speech, maybe it is, but just a creative way to kind of describe it. Obviously, they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't cause any violence or anything like that. They didn't spray paint any trucks or anything. NWO. Yeah, they're not beating anybody up. They're not threatening anybody. They just took over the organization. But it was a pretty massive takeover. And it was a pretty hefty turnover. And takeover. But who is the best addition that they've made? Again, not Jaden Daniels. That's not allowed. I mean, otherwise we'd get 99 calls on Jaden Daniels. Who is the best addition that they've made? And you might say, well, wait a second. You can argue a lot of guys, right? There isn't one particular answer. And you're right. There isn't one particular answer, which is why I chose the topic. It's why I chose the topic. Because outside of Jaden Daniels, a lot of people can view it differently, right? I mean, if you think about it, let's go down the list of possible additions that you could choose. Again, non-Jaden Daniels division. You could, I guess, say Marcus Mariota if you want. He helped you win the Carolina game. You could say Austin Eckler. He's been great. Missed one game because of the concussion. Been great other than that as a receiver. As a runner, as a pass protector, as a kick returner, as a leader, who the hell's been better than Austin Eckler in terms of the additions? Jeremy McNichols helped you win that Arizona game and has been a great pass protector and blitz picker-upper. Remember the blitz pickup that he had in Cincinnati on that game-winning touchdown to Terry McLaurin? Yeah, remember that? Okay. How about this? Noah Brown. Noah Brown was brought in after having some injury issues in Houston over the offseason. He's had injury issues in his career. He was in Dallas, so Dan Quinn and members of the staff obviously had some familiarity with him, what he was like in the building, on the practice field, so on and so forth. How great has Noah Brown been? How great has Noah Brown been? I mean, he's not putting up 100 yards per game, but he's drawn some huge DPIs. One against Chicago, and it doesn't show up in the box score. One against Chicago, one the other day against the Giants, which immediately led to the first Terry McLaurin touchdown. A bunch of catches, a bunch of tough catches. Sure, he had the one drop. Where was that? Against Baltimore, I think it was. How about Noah Brown? As the best addition that Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Dan Quinn, the organization has made since their takeover. How about that? How about Alameda Zaccheaus? Oh, you say, not enough. Okay, had a touchdown taken away on a stupid downfield penalty that had nothing to do with the play. Been a pretty steady punt returner. Has had some nice catches, has been a big part of the quick game offense, especially earlier in the year. You want to say Alameda Zaccheaus? Go right ahead. How about Brandon Coleman, who up until last week had only played, approximately half the game, splitting time with Cornelius Lucas, then misses a game because of a concussion, then comes and plays the entire game because Lucas gets banged up against the Giants and helps them fortify and solidify their pass protection and their run blocking against the number one sacking team in the NFL coming in, the New York Giants. Granted, without Kayvon Thibodeau, but they still have plenty of weapons in Brian Burns and Ozzie's Ojulari. How about Brandon Coleman? How about Tyler as Jay Gruden would say, Badosh. Tyler Badass. Tyler Biotish. Listen, there was a main reason why the offensive line struggled so mightily, despite some of the metrics. Wyatt struggled so mightily over the last 2.5 years. When Chase Roullier first got hurt in the middle of 2021 and was never, ever, 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 ever the same again and just couldn't stay on the field, and they had a revolving door at center, and other guys got hurt constantly, that killed them. So far, so good for Biadasz. He's everything and then some advertised. As a leader, as a communicator, as a signal caller, as a cerebral assassin. How about Zach Ertz? Steady Eddie, right? Doesn't do anything spectacular. Sure, he could have had a touchdown on that tough catch against Chicago. Should have been given a touchdown, in my opinion, and I think in others. How about Zach Ertz? Has he been the best addition since the takeover by the current regime? How about Zach Ertz? On defense, Dorrance Armstrong's been a beast. Right? Arguably, maybe not arguably, their best defensive end. Dorrance Armstrong's been great. Got off to a little bit of a slow start. But once the Cincinnati game came around, week three, despite missing most of the Baltimore game, and the next week after that, Carolina, Dorrance Armstrong's been tremendous. Set the edge, pass rusher. Sure, he had the personal foul penalty on the drive-by last week, but you know what I'm saying. How about Cleveland Farrell? For a couple of weeks, the start of the season, he was the only guy getting sacks. Some of them were of the cleanup variety. Most of them were. But Cleveland Farrell, despite missing a bunch of games, has been a good addition. Better than I thought. I thought they should have cut him. I'm wrong. How about Dante Fowler Jr.? Dante Fowler's been great off the edge, right? How about Frankie Louvu? Oh, wait a second. Let me give you Frankie Louvu, and then let me give you a double shot of Bobby Wagner. And then let me double down a little bit more and give you Jeremy Chinn. Now, I'm missing some guys. But those are the main characters. Those are the main combatants, right? I mean, you want to throw Mikey Sandler still in there? Fine. But for the most part, those are the main contenders. For Austin Seibert has been great. Only missed two kicks. Ben Sinnott has played a nice role. Luke McCaffrey has played a nice role, but I don't think anybody could really mention them. Point being is, Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Dan Quinn, the rest of the scouting staff, which was largely turned over, but not completely, have done obviously an amazing, 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 amazing times 10 job turning over this roster, nearly 70%. But who, and this is not a you're wrong, this is how I feel type of opinion. Who has been the best addition outside of Jaden Daniels, because that's the easy one? Who has been the best addition, free agent, draft, trade, what have you? Who has been the best addition since the takeover of the Washington Commanders? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Get in now, because we won't have time probably after 2:30. We might be able to squeeze in one or two after 2:30, but no guarantees. So get in now. 301-230-0980. We'll keep you company on a Thursday. Again, Corey Kispert of the Wizards expected to join us at 2:30. So we'll talk some whiz then on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
For some reason, this always makes me think of Beavis and Butthead. Do you remember that? Right? Am I remembering that right?
I do. They love this. The classic riffs, man. Yeah. They love this one, Iron Man, Breaking the Law. Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. I'm remembering that right. I think so. It's a long time ago. But yeah, man. All right. So I'm asking who has been the best addition outside of Jaden Daniels for the Commanders since the takeover. Right? You can go a number of different ways, and we just went down the list. No, there's really no wrong answer. This is a feel thing. This is a how do you feel thing. I'm not going to sit here and go, you know, Willie Willingham style and shred you to pieces and tell you that you're wrong because you think Zach Ertz has been the best addition or Austin Eckler's been the best addition or Noah Brown's been the best addition. Nobody's wrong because you can make a reasonable argument for so many people, for so many. I mean, just on offense alone. How do you pick between Noah Brown's impact, Austin Eckler's impact, Jeremy McNichols, Brandon Coleman? I mean, you could say, all right, Ben Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey haven't been as important, but they've been important. Right? But how do you pick between those four that I just mentioned? Oh, Nick Allegretti, I didn't even mention him. Biotish. I mentioned Biotish in the first segment. I didn't mention Biotish in just that segment or that portion. How do you choose between six guys? Really? Or seven guys if you include Zacchaeus. Again, nobody's going to pick Zacchaeus, but he's had a role. He's helped. How do you pick between Dorrance Armstrong, Johnny Newton, Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler, Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, Mikey Sanristil? I just gave you eight guys on defense. And that's not everybody that's been added to this roster. So I'm looking for one guy. I mean, if you want to give an honorable mention, Linnell Willingham style, go right ahead. You can't name the whole roster, but if you want to give an honorable mention, go right ahead. I'm not going to punish you. But one guy is what I'm looking for. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'm going to give you mine right here, right now. Again, this is non-Jaden Daniels division. Non-Jaden Daniels division. I love so many of these additions. I think we all liked them and thought they all made sense as we went along. And it's so hard to pick one guy. It's so hard to pick one guy. But I'm going to go with somebody who's probably not going to get enough mention, enough attention. And that's the center, Tyler Biotish. Now, again, that's no disrespect to Allegretti and his impact and Brandon Coleman and his impact and Noah Brown or Austin Eckler. I mean, again, all great additions. The defensive guys, as we just mentioned. But, you know, when I think of football, right, and when I think of offensive football, you think of the quarterback first, granted, but you also think, hey, man, how do we get better as an entire team, as an entire unit, as an organization? And a lot of you would answer, well, left tackle, right? And I understand it's left tackle is a premier position. And maybe I would feel differently if Brandon Coleman had pitched bagels for the entire year by himself without Cornelius Lucas playing half the game? Maybe. But Tyler Biotish has played 575 total snaps for the Washington Commanders in nine games. 333 in pass block, 242 run block. Overall, a 67 out of 100, so, you know, not bad. Not sparkling. A 79.3 in pass blocking, a 61.1 in run blocking, which seems low, and only has one penalty. But more importantly, guys, with a rookie quarterback, think about all of the things that you don't have to, or you haven't had to worry about. It's not all on Jaden Daniels. It's identifying who the Mike linebackers, it's identifying who a potential blitzer is. It's identifying, it's getting calls calls down the line and the communication between him, Cosmi, Allegretti, so on and so forth, so that everybody can be on the same page. Silent counts on the road, sometimes at home, as Cosmi told us earlier in the year. And he's just been durable, smart. He's been a badass, which is his nickname, down the field in terms of second and even sometimes third level blocking in space on runs, on screens. I thought about this, and I wanted to go a lot of different ways. And again, there's no wrong answer. But to me, Tyler Biadasz, out of anyone, and again, that's no disrespect to Bobby Wagner or Frankie Louvu or Mikey Sandorstil or Noah Brown or Austin Eckler. Tyler Biadasz, because of the position that he plays, because he is the cerebral assassin, if you will, of the offensive line and really of the offense, and because he's had to help a rookie quarterback who is as smart as he is, can't do it all by himself, because he's been durable at a position that they have had literally no durability at for 3 years. So far, Tyler Biadasz has been everything that and then some that you could ask for. To me, that's the addition. All right, let's do a quick trending alert, and then we will get right to the calls on the other side, because I know a bunch of you guys are lined up at 301-230-0980. So we'll do the quick trending alert, quick spot break, and then right to your calls. 301-230-0980. Let's do it, Chris. All right, so the Commanders on the practice field right now. We'll get you updates as to who is, who isn't doing what in just a little bit as they continue to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, no word from Joe Witt Jr. Or from the Commanders organization on whether Marshawn Lattimore so far is going to play this Sunday. Thursday night football tonight. It is right up the road at M&T Bank Stadium. 6-3 Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson against the 4-5 Joe Burrow led Cincinnati Bengals. The last time these two teams played went to overtime, and Joe Burrow threw 5 touchdown passes, but the Ravens outlasted Cincinnati. We'll have Corey Kispert joining us from the Wizards at 2:30. They're about to start a 5-game road trip that begins tomorrow night in Memphis here on the Team 980. Caps with a big win, as we told you about in our opening segment. They're off until tomorrow night against Sidney Crosby and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that's what's trending. All right, again, Corey Kispert expected to join us in less than an hour from the Washington Wizards, so let's get to it on the phones right here, right now. Who has been the most important addition to the Washington Commanders outside of Jaden Daniels since the takeover in January? Free agent, trade, draft, what have you, outside of Jaden Daniels. I think we'd all agree about the importance of that. Let's start on the phones at 301-230-0980 with Robert in Easton on line 7. Robert, how are you?
We got Robert.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right, let me put you back on hold. There we go. Once again, this...
Hello?
Yes. Hello, Robert. How are you?
Yes.
Sorry, we're dealing with the worst studio known to mankind in here, where everything is always screwed up, no matter what we try. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. Hey, that's quite all right. You guys are freshly squeezed, like once past these.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I don't totally get that bit, but obviously it makes sense because, you know, that's his name. So I love it. I appreciate the wrestling lingo. Yes.
I know you're a big AEW guy.
Yes.
Because of your best buddies and Tony Khan.
Absolutely.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, Austin, you forgot to mention Austin Seibert. He handily took care of the Giants in week 2 all by itself.
I forgot about, but you are absolutely correct. And it's more than just week 2, by the way.
Right. And I don't know if you want to add coaches.
Sure.
Of their thing, but yeah. Cliff Kingsbury, I think Cliff Kingsbury has been a blessing in disguise, and let's just say that he and Jaden Daniels have a good chemistry together, and it's working out better than basically everybody expected.
Well, I love it, because I purposely left coaches and assistant coaches and even Dan Quinn, you know, off the table wondering how long it would take before people got there, and you did it right out of the chute, so I'm glad you did. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it. I think Cliff Kingsbury... Thank you for the buzz, and appreciate the kind words about Best Buddies and all that stuff.
You're welcome.
And yes, AEW is a partner of Best Buddies, and kind of had something, a little something to do with that. So appreciate that. Thank you, Robert. I would say this. Kingsbury has been the most notable name amongst the coaches. I mean, if you're not including Dan Quinn in that, you want to say the assistant coaches, what have you. But, you know, again, I know the results haven't exactly shown, but I think Joe Witt's philosophy shows up every Sunday. I think Larry Izzo's done a great job. You know, since quarter five of the season, they've been lights out on special teams for the most part. Not perfect, but near lights out in every phase. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to line four, Al in Arlington. What's up, Al? How are you?
I'm great, Chris, and I'm going to double down on Cyber, but I'm going to give a better reason than just the Giants game and also the Bears game. It's the fact that he wasn't the original guy they wanted.
Correct.
The original guy they wanted was that ex-Jaguars kicker, right? And
correct.
He got me too for the stupid thing he did. And the fact that they picked up a guy off the street, or actually they took him off a practice squad, right?
Cyber, yeah, he was with the Jets, and they saw him in that joint practice and the preseason game at MetLife Stadium earlier this year, correct?
So you have to give the administration that's huge. They picked up somebody when they didn't think they were going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason alone, I think Seibert's one of the best pickups.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, he's only missed two kicks. One, he got his foot stuck in the turf, and one got blocked, I think, on a 52-yarder in Baltimore. Other than that, knock on wood, he's been great. And, you know, his kickoffs, that like they haven't been hemorrhaging there in terms of all the new weird, wacky, wild rules, you know, where, you know, if you kick it short of the landing zone or out of bounds or whatever, a team could get it out of the 40. That hasn't been an issue, which was an issue, oh, by the way, in week one. Remember, they had a different kicker in week one. Cyber didn't come in until week two, and they had a different kicker in training camp. As a matter of fact, they had two different kickers on top of the McManus disaster, which, again, I still don't blame them. So excellent, excellent observation. Thank you, Al. Good to hear from you. Appreciate you. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to line six, Chris. Rock in Laurel next up on the Team 980. Rock, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're shaking, Rock.
All right. So I got to – first of all, I want to say Tyler Beatus was probably the second most important addition to help Jaden under center. But my number one knot has to go to Bobby Wagner. He is the coach of our defense.
He is
the glue. And essentially, especially as we see veteran quarterbacks later in the season and in the playoffs potentially, they're basically playing chess at the line of scrimmage, audible in last second, getting people in position, disguising. And whatever Bobby lacks in athletic ability, he more than makes up for the mental. So, and then the fact that he's the hardest working guy in mm-hmm. the room during the week on defense, and then we got Jaden on offense, it sets it up perfectly. And I wanted to mention one more thing. On that 4th-and-1 that we didn't get against mm-hmm. the Giants, that mm-hmm. was kind of questionable.
Yep.
Somebody's got to go down with the hammy. Somebody's got to go down with the cramps.
Oh, and to give them more to give them more time to evaluate?
100%. If it's 4th down, the defense, that player isn't even going to come on the field anyway.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially if you're like a Dante Fowler, someone that comes in on 4th down, 3rd down.
That's fair. So they maybe got a little bit of a makeup call on the touchdown that they took away for the Giants on the OPI, but it shouldn't have even been in that spot, and it did technically cost them 3 points. Now, that's if you believe that the call was bad, which I think all of us do, but when I went back and I really slowed it down on replay, it wasn't as egregious as I thought it was live, but it was still, in my opinion, a very generous spot, and I was surprised EQ and his staff didn't challenge it. But back to Bobby Wagner, I love your point of view on that. He is the quarterback. He is the captain, if you will, of the defense. And if you missed Wagner on on the show on Monday. He was a guest. You can check it out on the Odyssey app and as well the team980.com. And he explained, not in Sunday's game against the Giants, but I asked him in the Bears game, he made a third down stop with his back turned to the line of scrimmage. Why? Because he was communicating his ass off, and he explained how it all went down and what he was trying to do and how it all played down. So a lot of the stuff, Rock, that you just brought up is absolutely correct. Good point on that. Appreciate the phone call. Let's go to, let's see here. Let's get to our guy on line two, Athan in Annapolis. What's up, Double A? How are you?
I'm good. And just so everybody doesn't think I'm like, always on your side, I said it to your producer, before I called in so he can validate it. I'm in agreement with you. It's Tyler Biadasz, because you have to start in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You have to start on the offensive line, defensive line, that you win the ball in the trenches. And he is so in command of what's going on with the calls on the offensive line. He's helping Jaden there. Might even be making Cosme and Allegretti and the guys next to them even better with the blitz pickups and all that, whatever. You can't, it's invaluable to have that for a rookie quarterback and to help with the running game. And the last thing I'll say is I don't want Marshawn Lattimore out there until he's healthy. If they push him on a bad wheel, it's just going to be damaged goods out there.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, because obviously we've tried to figure this out and we just don't know how bad the hamstring is, right? Like, meaning, was he just self-preservation society and they were, meaning the Saints, because they wanted to trade him, doing the same? We don't know, because nobody will be honest with it. So it's a little bit of cloak and dagger, if that's the right way to say it, or a little bit mysterious, shrouded in mystery, is as far as how bad it is. But obviously, they have some sense more than what they're telling us publicly. To your point, what would be the worst situation would be for him to go out and pop it on Sunday just because you tried to rush him out on the field against Mike Williams and George Pickens, which, no offense to those guys, I'd rather have him ready for next Thursday night. If there's any way to reasonably assure that he would be better next Thursday night than this Sunday, that's what I want to do. The problem is I don't know if you can get assurance on that. And if there's any question, any kind of moderate question, I would hope that they would exercise caution, and it sounds like you would exercise caution as well. So,
well, the biggest thing is this: is even though they got Lattimore, and I'm glad they did, they're not there yet, in my opinion. They don't have enough on either side of the ball yet because of all the holes. Now, I do think that they're elevated everybody's game and everybody's rallying to the quarterback and to Quinn and his style of coaching, and Kingsbury is probably the assistant coach of the year, and Dan Quinn's probably going to be coach of the year. I mean, it's going great, but we're only 9 games in, and they got some really tough games coming up. It's great that Dallas is falling apart. You got Tennessee and the Saints in there, but anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday.
I agree. Always good to hear from you, my friend, Double A in Annapolis. And you can agree with me anytime. You're on the right side when you agree with me. 147, Team 980 in the Odyssey app. We're always live and free there and always on demand. Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards, scheduled to join us right around 2:30. You'll hear from him. We'll continue along the way with your phone calls next on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Stay with us. Again, Corey Kispert of the Washington Wizards will join us right around 2:30, so looking forward to that. On their way to Memphis to kick off a 5-game road trip tomorrow night, they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Do the Washington Wizards. And again, Corey Kispert just re-signing on a contract extension. Now, that game actually will not be here. That'll be on 99.1 Bloomberg, 99.1 FM, because we have the Terps and Mount St. Mary's here on 980 tomorrow night. But you can hear the Wizards and Grizzlies again on Bloomberg 99.1, and you can hear from Corey Kispert in just a little bit. Best for addition, non-Jaden Daniels division since the takeover for the Washington Commanders. Lots of different answers. Let's keep it going. Let's go to line 8. Tony is in Clinton next up. What's up, Tony? How are you?
All is well, man. So you guys are, everybody's kind of saying similar things. But if you remember last year, the two positions that we had that were just absolutely just non-existent with center. Nick Gates was a turnstile. He blocked more air than he did people. And we got no linebacker plays. So Luvu making plays, being an energy to that team, having somebody that's a dynamic player at that position in addition to a competent center, those are the two things that I think have changed the whole both sides of the ball. So, like Wagner, I think he's a shadow of what he used to be. He does make the plays. You know, he calls out there, but he's not a huge playmaker, in my opinion. Luvu has been a playmaker. So
Luvu is definitely more of a playmaker. There's no doubt about it. But remember, they're obviously in different roles, right? So you're going to probably notice Luvu more. I guess why Wagner certainly would get it, even though he's not, again, as good in coverage as he once used to be and so on and so forth, is because he's the leader of that defense, the architect, if you will, of that defense. He's got to get the call and disseminate it. And again, I think earlier this year, they had some issues. Like, I remember in the Baltimore game, it looked like there was some miscommunication issues, and it sounded like Joe Witt, after that game, I don't want to say blamed Bobby Wagner, but explained, hey, we made the call, it didn't get to where it needed to be, and that was, to me, kind of pointed. But yet, last Thursday, and I reminded Bobby Wagner of that when we had him on the show, last Thursday, Joe Witt said, hey, man, the communication was great, and he signaled out Bobby Wagner. So, again, there's things that are really hard to measure about Wagner's impact, but to your point, Luvu is a dynamo, right? I mean, we knew he wasn't Micah Parsons, but they're using him in the jack-of-all-things Micah Parsons role.
And he has the energy about him. Like, it's like Wagner is the sound, smart, you know, he's the savvy person, but Luvu has brought an intensity and a swag that we didn't have. Like, we needed that type of energy type player, man.
I agree.
I would give it to you.
I agree. All right, good call. Appreciate it. Thank you, Tony. Good to hear from you. Let's get to the JYD on line four. We'll bring up JYD here. What's up, JYD? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Rooster?
All right, JYD, what's going on, man?
It's Frankie Luvu.
All right. Double vote for Frankie Luvu.
But my question to you is, let's say hypothetically, next year, the Chicago Bears want to hire Kingsbury.
Okay. Which is possible.
Here's the thing. You know how we got rid of coaches like Shanahan and McVay and all that, and they became you know, great coaches.
Right.
Would we fire Dan Quinn?
No. No.
And institute Kingsbury because of his relationship with our quarterback?
No. I mean, because A, there would be no reason, certainly at this point, even with a monumental collapse, to fire Dan Quinn. B, that's just not the way it's going to roll. Like, Dan Quinn is in charge of the whole operation. Cliff Kingsbury is obviously, I understand where you're getting at, so that they don't have what happened with Sean McVay. Remember, they kept Sean McVay. McVay surprisingly got a head coaching opportunity after the 2016 season when he was doing such a good job with Kirk Cousins, the offense, so on and so forth, which was in conjunction with Jay Gruden. Well, and a lot of people thought, fire Jay Gruden.
Kingsbury walk?
Huh?
Well, you would let Kingsbury walk?
I don't want Cliff Kingsbury to leave, but I'm not going to hold him back from a head coaching position. No. But I'm not going to fire Dan Quinn in exchange. No.
So you would let your architect of your quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate the phone call, JYD. He's not the architect of my quarterback. He is the architect, if you will, of this year's offense, but he's not like the sole responsible thing for the quarterback's development or even the offense's development. I mean, you know, look at Anthony Lynn. I mean, they could easily go Anthony Lynn, Brian Johnson. I mean, look, you don't hold back Cliff Kingsbury. If he can get a head coaching job. Now, one thing you wouldn't let is him go for a lateral position, right, as OC somewhere. But if he can get a head coaching position in Chicago or in New Orleans or trying to think where else, the Jets, you know, Okay. I mean, that would suck to lose him, but you don't hold him back. 157, Team 980, more of your calls coming up. Who has been the best addition outside of Jaden Daniels since the NWO-style takeover in January for the Washington Commanders? Lots of good answers. We'll keep it coming on the phones at 301-230-0980. You want to drop me a tweet on X? It's at WrestleMania621. But give us a jingle, 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.